But let's do it. Welcome back to My Wave Podcast. We are super excited today to have Amy Desay with us. And we've surfed together a few times over the last few years, but never really talked with you outside of the water. I mean, there's been like parking lot conversations and everything like that, but I'm looking forward to talking with Amy Desay. But before we get into that conversation about her wave, I want to give a big thanks to Copilot Studio, Billy behind the scenes, doing all his magic. I love what he does, what he's expanding to. If you've been watching on YouTube, you notice we had a big table. Now we're trying a small table. We got some soundproofing. This is awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to seeing how you grow. But you can follow him at Copilot Studios on Instagram. I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Shredders Surf Camp. Learn to surf at Shredders Surf Camp, Wrightsville Beach this summer. They offer four-day camp, private lessons, group lessons. You can check them out on their website, shredderssurf.com, and some of their weeks of camp are filling up. One last little thing. Was introduced by Billy to this idea called Buy Me a Coffee. You ever had anybody buy you a coffee, Amy?
I mean, other than just friends, no strangers.
Yeah, this is called buymeacoffee.com /mywave. So if you would like to help fund this podcast, here's an easy way to do it. I think the minimum cost is $5. You can buy me multiple coffees if you want, but there's no subscription. It's just, hey, here's $5. Like what you're doing. So buymeacoffee.com/mywave. So, Amy, are we ready to talk about your wave?
You got me thinking about coffee. Yes, I am ready.
All right. We should have had some coffee at it. But you said you're like coffee, green tea, glass of wine. That's your daily repertoire.
Yes. I wake up in the morning. My coffee pot is on a timer at 5 o'clock. So yeah, it starts brewing. And I normally just wake up between 4:30 and 5:30. It's good. Ready. I drink my coffee. I play with my cat. Might go to the beach, catch the sunrise.
Yeah.
Then work. And then it's green tea throughout the day, which by the end of the day, it's the same tea bag. So by then it's just water. It's just
with a hint of green color.
Exactly. And then I'll just have a glass of wine with dinner.
There you go. So early riser.
Yes.
Is this like because you have to? Or
I always have been. It's my mom is like that. My mom and
really?
I, we both, as when I was a little kid, we would always wake up early and go walk the beach. And then we'd come back. And my dad and I have a twin sister. They're not early risers, so they would just be waking up about that point.
Oh, that's so funny. So you grew up around here, or where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised in Chapel Hill.
Okay. So you get up really early to drive down here to walk on the beach.
I spent most of my summers and a lot of time at Emerald Isle.
Okay.
And both of my parents are biologists.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so growing up, my mom and I would, when we were down in Emerald Isle, we would take walks on the beach and learn about, I mean, it's basically like fun science.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the name, like sand fleas, you know, the little, all the little things in the, right in the, where the water breaks.
Yeah.
Their scientific name is Emerita. So I grew up calling them Emerita. I'm like, look at the Emerita, Emerita. Everyone's
really?
Like, what is that? And it's a sand flea.
So Emerita.
It's a scientific,
Is it just that one name? Because sometimes they're like Emerita, blah, 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 blah.
I'm sure there's the full scientific name, but I just call them Emerita.
There you go. Yeah. One of the things about this podcast is we want to teach people things, primarily about surfing. But hey, now as you're standing there in the whitewash that's washing back out and your feet start to tickle, it's probably an Emerita.
Exactly.
Or sand flea.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, that's awesome. So they were biologists. Did that carry over into your?
Yes. When I went to college, I was your typical rebellious teenager. I grew up in Chapel Hill. Both my parents are biologists for UNC Chapel Hill.
Oh, wow. So they teach and stuff?
Yes. And I was not going to go to Chapel Hill. I was going to get as far away. So I went to a small college in Tennessee where my dad went.
I thought you were going to say you went to East Carolina. Good Pirates. Sorry.
I was actually thinking about either East Carolina or UNC Asheville, but I ended up going to a small school in Tennessee. When I was there, it just had one stoplight that blinked because there weren't enough people there.
Yeah.
Like McDonald's was in the next county over. And so I was going to rebel. No science. I was going to be a religion or a philosophy major.
There you go.
And you had to take your one science course. So I'm like, growing up in UNC Chapel Hill, I apologize to any,
Oh, yeah.
people, but it was rocks for jocks. So I took geology and fell in love. Then I had a natural resource major. Now I'm an environmental scientist.
That's what
so
you
whole,
do now.
Yeah. So I'm a whole family of geeks.
Wow. Yes. Environmental science.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I was environmental health at East Carolina with a focus on industrial hygiene.
That's actually more what I do, industrial hygiene. Oh, really? Realistically. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. So Chapel Hill, then to Tennessee, walks on the beach as a kid, but when did you learn to surf?
I dabbled a little bit as a kid, just like a summer, someone with a softboard, just playing on it. I always body surfed or boogie board. My dad was a big waterman, taught us, you know, made sure we could swim at a little age. But actually surfing, it was when I moved to Wilmington. It actually was my friend Teresa in Georgia who I met surfing. So it was probably about 6 years ago.
Really?
Not long ago at all.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So you met Teresa in Georgia. Mm-hmm. She's San Diego or is she back this way now?
Now she's Hawaii.
She's in Hawaii.
She was San Diego. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Hawaii. Hey, Georgia, we'll get you in on one of these. That would be fun because we can call them in and they'll be there on the screen. I can talk to them.
She has stories.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure. And she would do well.
Yes.
We'll have to make that happen. That would be cool.
It would be.
Yeah.
It was something I always wanted to do. I'm in my 40s. I wasn't getting any younger. I mean, I used to run the loop all the time in the evenings and I would see people and I just decided I wanted to learn to surf. So I actually ended up reaching out to Joe Pickett one winter and I had a couple lessons from her because it was in the winter. I didn't want to hurt anyone or run over anyone. So I'm like, teach me when it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, we could explore that a little bit. One, Joe Pickett, Crystal South, was her surf camp. She was actually on Laurel Senek's podcast, Laurel and Ashley's Post Session podcast. So check them out, Post Session podcast, and you can hear that episode with Joe Pickett talking about all kinds of different stuff, but primarily her life around surfing. And so you got up with Joe?
I got up with Joe because at that point I was in my 30s and didn't really want to do a surf camp or a summer thing. I mean, I was felt like I was a kind of different demographic than most people.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I reached out to Joe and had a couple lessons and got me an Allison surfboard and then...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, met up with my group of best friends now. We just all kind of met out in the water and now we get together.
So back up, because I've seen the crew that you hang with. They're a bunch of rough characters.
It's a wide mix.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So back it up. So... lessons.
Yes.
How important was that as a beginner and in your 30s? So as people listen to this, be encouraged. You're not too late. You can jump into this.
To me, it was pretty important because it gave me the confidence. It's not like you're a bunch of high school or junior high kids just going out there with your friends.
Right.
And I didn't know... people who had, I knew plenty of people who surf, but they've been surfing their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to be that like third wheel, just kind of. And I had times when I went out with my friends and I literally did not catch a wave. They basically called me a buoy. I just floated the entire day. So it was important to feel comfortable being able to be out there by myself, since I knew I was going to have to be out there by myself until I didn't really realize I'd find a group who would end up being my group of best friends.
That's cool.
But to me, it was a confidence thing. It really helped.
Yeah. How many lessons did you take before, let's say, you first stood up or first felt confident?
First stood up was probably the first time.
Okay.
I mean, as far as feeling confident around people, probably like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Feeling confident in the water wasn't ever an issue. Like I said, I grew up, you know, swimming in the ocean and, you know, all about that.
Yeah.
But feeling confident around people, my biggest concern was I didn't want to take anyone out. I didn't want to run over anyone, hurt anyone, or get in anyone's way.
Yeah.
You know, I know there is, you just try to be respectful out there.
Right. There's an aspect to learning to surf that all surfers want you to learn. But then the aspect they really want you to learn is that respect, that mm-hmm. ethic in the water. There is a code of conduct. It's written down. I was at a surf shop in Puerto Rico 2 weeks ago, and I took a couple pictures of rules of conduct in the water. And
at Surfers Beach?
It was at, this one was actually at the WRV at Hobos.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, there was a couple posters in there. I thought, oh, those are good. But it is important to learn, and having someone like Joe come alongside you and say, look, here's a crowd, here's a peak, here's a paddle out spot, here's where you...
That's partly why I picked the winner, because mm-hmm. I figured there'd be less people.
And there was, but even winter now is getting more and more crowded around yes, here. Because I don't know about you, but I bought a brand new wetsuit this season. And it is beyond anything I've ever bought. Like, it is amazing.
I bought one, a hooded one. I've always just had the vest and the mm-hmm. hood, and I got tired of that. So I actually bought a hooded wetsuit, like okay. with the hood attached.
Does it zip off or it's hoods, built in?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah. I liked it.
4.3?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I got the O'Neill Mutant Legend. It's a 4.5, 3.5, and it's mm-hmm. got it zips in and out. You can just do the neck or the hood.
Okay.
Super flexible. It blew me away at how warm, how flexible. It's an awesome suit.
For my winter suit, I normally wear the Flash Bomb because mm-hmm. it's got the nice fleece lining, and I have a really long torso, and it just fits the torso better because a lot of the other wetsuits, if I do the side, like height and weight ratio, it's too small on the torso. Like, so for my torso, I have to go about 3 inches higher. And I love the Flash Bomb, but after a couple of years, it smells really bad now.
Yes. Yeah. Wetsuit has a funk.
Yes.
That is indescribable.
I used to surf before work and I can't anymore. It's not pleasant.
You go to work, yes. People avoid you.
Yes, yes. Not in that wetsuit. But like I said, I bought a new one, which does not smell yet.
There you go. So. There you go. But the worst, wetsuit has a funk, but booties.
Yes.
Billy, never mind. I need to bring my booties over to your house and let you smell them. They are disgusting.
To me, it's also my gloves because my fingers are so small that the fingers just don't get a chance to air out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh.
So there you go. If we're going to learn something, a proper wetsuit, get some lessons. But then you said you bought your first board.
Yes.
So what did you go with?
It was a used board, but it mm-hmm. was Allison.
And Allison is?
Allison is a local shaper. Does he still shape anymore?
I believe he still does.
Okay.
I don't know.
I just got a brand new board. I bought a used Will Allison. He's a local shaper. He's been shaping a long time. It was a 9.0 long board, lots of nose rocker, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. It made it easier for
me. So let's the nose rocker. What does that mean?
The nose had curvature, so it kept the nose a little bit above water. Mm-hmm. So if I wasn't timing it well, my nose didn't go in the water and cause me to somersault over the front of the board.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Does that happen often?
Not often.
Not because of this board, because it has a good rocker.
Correct. Not often. It happens if I try to take too steep a wave mm-hmm. and...
Yeah.
Yeah. It does happen, but not often.
Oh, good, good. Yep. I think you're giving some words out here, too steep, you know, nose going under, purling, somersaulting. Those are those things that because I really hope that people listening to this are new to the sport mm-hmm. and they can learn some of these mistakes that we've made and even not just mistakes, just part of the learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, even if I take, you know, try too late, take a wave, try mm-hmm. to go for... It's too steep. I might not make it, but then I'm like, hey, I didn't die. Right. I can do that. You know.
That's good.
So
that's good. Yeah. So you bought this Will Allison. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen him surf? Have you
yes.
ever surfed?
Yeah,
with
I've seen him. Well, I've watched him down at Southend a couple of times mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. he would come down there and surf.
Yeah.
Just graceful
it's
and he
poetry.
Makes it look so easy.
Poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a used Will Allison. I mean, it was a used board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely loved it. By the time I finished riding it. I mean, I had sun cured the heck out of that thing. Like, It was so waterlogged and I loved it. So about 2 years ago, I reached out to him and I told him, I love this board. I want the exact same thing. Mm. And so I took it to him and he was able to find the number.
Oh, wow.
Like off of the back. He writes a like 4-digit number. I guess maybe it started with one.
This template was something. Yeah.
With a template. And so I went to his shop. I guess it was down on Middle Sound Loop Road or somewhere. Okay. And he pulled out this little file Rolodex. And he went through it and all in like files, like library files.
Very cool.
And he had the number and pulled it out with the dimensions. So I got the exact same board. I hadn't put the option for side bites in, which I haven't put in at all yet. But okay. Hey, options.
Yeah. So side bites, what are they?
Normally with the longboards, I have just a large single fin. Mm-hmm. So my longboard is a 9-0, so I have a 9-0 single fin. The side bites are smaller fins that you can put on the side that kind of help it hold into the wave. Mm-hmm. So if it's like a steeper wave, it might keep the tail from coming out or help you turn more, easier.
Right, yeah. A little more bite in the tail.
Hence, side bite.
There you go. Yes. There you go. Awesome.
Which I have not put in that board.
You haven't yet?
No, I haven't.
Still like the loosey-goosey kind of feel?
Well, that's all. I have four boards.
Uh-huh.
I have the 9-0 Allison.
Yeah.
I have an 8-0 single fin, which is a Bing.
Okay.
And I have a 7-6 single fin. And then I have a little 6-0 fish, which I'm kind of learning how, but I can't duck dive, which kind of makes it hard.
Yeah.
I had a 9-2 Hobie performance board that had side bites and everything. It was a beautiful board. It was fun, but it was really thin, and I couldn't give it the love it needed. So I sold it to Haywood.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. So any more boards in your future?
I only have a slot for four boards up on my wall. So if I get another one, I have to get rid of one, and none of them I want to part with. So
I understand. I understand. Well, so we're here to talk about your one wave, which I guess I could have started with that as far as where was it? Let's go there. Where was this one wave that you want to talk about?
I have actually four waves for different reasons. So the wave I enjoyed the most, it was maybe 3 years ago. It was before Florence.
Okay.
It was up in Surf City. It was one Sunday. It was super windy and looking at the camera, nothing ever looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the wind changed. And Surf City cleaned up.
Okay.
And I drove up there and it was still windy, but the waves were probably chest high. And with the wind, I was able to keep the face. I mean, it was able to keep the waves from crumbling over. So you had a nice face.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun. There weren't many people out because I guess it was towards the end of the day on a Sunday and the waves weren't good that morning. So
right.
No one really,
yeah.
Everyone was already into their Sunday dinner probably. Mm-hmm. And it was me, my friend Abby. I think Kate Finch was up there. I don't know if you know who she is. She shortboards a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was up. It was just a really fun day. There weren't many people out. The waves were a little larger than I was used to at that point. And I thought that I was going to be going over the falls on a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to kind of catch the wave. Because since it was windy, I had to, you know, take off later and paddle harder.
Right.
But because of the wind, I mean, I was able to just move up and down my board, and I had so much fun.
Mm.
And then I switched boards and took out my 7-6.
The same day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And by that time, I was a little tired, so it was a little harder, but it was still just, I think that's my favorite wave as far as just not many people out. It was a good wave. It was a large wave. It was unexpected, a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. All those elements.
Yes.
And then you sprinkle in some friends.
Yes.
Makes for an epic session.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, was there one particular wave in that or just that was one of those sessions that stood out?
It was just one of those sessions that stood out. I mean, I don't think it was one particular wave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I think of my one particular waves, like if I think of one wave, it's not good memory waves.
Okay.
It was 2 years ago in Costa Rica.
Is this the one wave you want to talk about? Because you mentioned there's four.
Well, I'm moving on to the next wave.
Okay, okay.
This is wave number two.
Wave two. Give it to me.
Yes. Wave number two. It was, I guess, maybe 2 years ago, right? But it was the January right before they kind of shut everything down.
Okay.
And we did a Costa Rica trip. Mm-hmm. And normally, I guess it's supposed to be kind of smaller in January. It wasn't. They had a freak swell.
Really?
So it was like double overhead.
Nice.
Which is way, and it was more of a short board
okay.
break where we were staying.
Yeah.
Way outside of my comfort zone. But we're like, we flew all the way down here. We're just going. And I remember taking off on one wave. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, blah, 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 blah. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And I took off on it. And I looked up and it was probably a double overhead wave.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just did this.
Yeah.
And then I jumped off and broke my board towards the end of
you
the trip.
You broke it. Was yeah. it a rental?
Yeah, it oh. was. It was at the end of the trip because the waves were so big.
Okay.
That whenever I paddle back out, I mean, I would basically, I grab my, if it's big and I think it's going to be ripped out of my hands, I'll just kind of grab my leash and dive under.
Yeah.
And it just, after a whole week of the wave just breaking on the board.
Oh,
it just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It gave up the ghost.
It gave up, yes. But that was one of those waves which made me realize how I progressed mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. I could do different types of waves, different locations. I mean, it wasn't a longboard wave.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really ride far. It closed out, but it was more just...
You caught it.
I did that. Yeah. Yes.
So that was in Costa Rica.
Yes.
Where else have you traveled in the world to surf?
Puerto Rico, Costa Rica.
Okay.
That's it.
Have you been back to those?
We used to go to Puerto Rico a lot. Uh-huh. I love Puerto Rico. I want to go back there again.
Yeah.
Costa Rica, maybe somewhere else. I don't know. I'm a homebody, so that was kind of... I mean, the food was amazing. The weather was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I got spoiled by Puerto Rico, you know? It's a U.S. territory. You don't have the foreign...
Right.
You know, you don't have to... Did I get my passport? Do I have to change currency? Mm-hmm. I mean...
Mm-hmm. A little less stress.
Exactly, exactly. I worry about everything, so the less I have to worry about, the better.
Yeah, and nice thing about Puerto Rico, folks are super friendly, and... Most of them speak enough English that you can hold a great conversation. And
there's a lot of local people, like Wilmington or North Carolina people down there, or even if they don't live there, every time I've been down there, I've run into someone I know or mm-hmm. someone who knows someone I know.
Yeah. Did you hear that, ILM? You need to open a flight, Wilmington, Aguadilla.
Yes.
Or Wilmington, San Juan.
Yes.
Direct.
Yes.
Anybody, can you hear me out there?
Ideally, where you don't land at 3 a.m.
True. Yes. Some of those flights coming in Aguadilla yes. are brutal.
Yes. My actual third wave uh-huh. is Puerto Rico.
Okay.
It is, we went to Wilderness one day.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I worry about everything. So Wilderness worried me. The whole, you got a keyhole and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I went to Puerto Rico, I would not take my booties off. I was so worried about the sea
urchins.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so... defining terms here, a keyhole. So we had a young man on here who actually talked about a wave at Wilderness as well. And this was right before I went. I had never surfed Wilderness. I had surfed a couple other places, but never Wilderness. And he was like, you got to find the keyhole. So I'm like, what's the keyhole? So a keyhole is?
It is a small area. Tell me if I'm giving this right. Puerto Rico has a lot of reefs.
Right.
So it's not like here, east coast of the U.S., where it's a sandy beach.
Mm-hmm.
There, it is reefs that the waves break on, reefs and rocks. So the keyhole is a little kind of sandy area between two, like, reef heads where you can paddle out.
Right.
And if you don't paddle out at the keyhole, you're going to be on rocks or the tide's going to be weird or there's going to be reefs. I mean, it's doable, but it's not
right.
recommended
rocks
or
are sharp,
easy. Yes.
Urchins are everywhere.
Yes.
So you find the keyhole, paddling out. Now, usually when you're on the beach heading out, that's doable. It's easy. But when you're trying to come back in, you want to time it or position yourself so that you're not getting caught in the current and missing the keyhole. And then you're in trouble because now you got to paddle against the current or just keep going on down. There's another one down.
Is there another one down
yes,
there?
Yes.
Okay.
Down towards the mix.
I thought you'd just kind of float away.
Well, you could. You could float away and then get back out and try another one.
That's always my fear, paddling to mace, that I'm just going to float out to sea.
Yeah. The currents are yes. a little tricky at times at mace.
But, yeah, so paddling out wasn't too bad once mm-hmm. I followed people.
Yeah.
And it was the first time at Wilderness, and I'm goofy, so I prefer...
I'm goofy, too.
Yeah, prefer going, you know, left. Most of Puerto Rico's are right. Mm-hmm. Wilderness did have some lefts,
they do.
Which I liked.
They do.
So we were having fun out there. There were a whole bunch of people out there because it was, you know, February in Puerto Rico, which mm-hmm. is kind of their prime, I guess, surfing season. And the swell was picking up for the day and the waves were beginning to get big. And I was out there with my friends and a big set came on the outside. I told you about this mm-hmm. in the parking lot.
Oh, yes, you did.
A big set came on the outside. And so we're watching it, and then we all start paddling. And my friend Dave is in front of me. Of course, there's a whole bunch of people behind me also. We're all trying to paddle out to make it, to get over it. So, because I knew if I tried to duck or if I tried to turtle roll, it'd right. probably rip my yeah. board out of
what
my
were, what board were you using?
I had a rental out there. I think mm-hmm. I had a green board, I think it is. Green board?
Green room,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They okay.
Yeah, I had one of their rentals because they have a rental shop out there in Maria's, I think.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Nice to know.
And so I had one of their rentals. So it was an Ino longboard, which was my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to paddle over it. My friend Dave is in front of me. I'm so close. He's like maybe two strokes in front of me. And then I realize I am not going to make it. And I suddenly just yell, I'm not making it. And I go backwards straight.
Still over. On your board?
Still on my board. Oh, no. I'm probably, like, there's probably 10 people behind me.
So
and I'm
the
just,
wave is lifting you.
Yes.
And lift, you're not making it.
Exactly. And I'm going, like, instead of tumbling forward, I'm tumbling backwards. Because, I mean, at that point, what else could I mean, I wasn't making it over. I wasn't going under.
And ditching your board could be tragic for somebody behind you.
Yeah. I mean, I still tried to hold on to my board as much as I could. But at that point, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm still tumbling back. Luckily, I didn't take anyone out. But that's one of my waves I will always remember. It's not the best memory, but I will always remember it.
Well, what's the greatest lesson to learn from that? Paddle fast.
You still survive.
You still survive.
Just turn right back around and go back out. I mean, I really don't know what I could have done different.
Yeah. Sometimes you just inside and you can't.
I mean, I could have just waited inside, but I really thought I had a chance of making it over. I was so close. I was like two paddles from making it over.
Man.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. My fourth most remember, well, the fourth wave I remember. It's not actually more of a wave. It was one day I was out in Emerald Isle. Mm-hmm. And normally I'm the only one out when I go out there. And I was just floating in the water. It was probably October. And just a pod of dolphins just came by. And they were so close to me. And it was peaceful. It was very, you know, glassy. There was no wind. It was just me. I was just laying there on my longboard. I mean, that, like I said, it's not a wave, but it's one of those days where I was so glad to be out there and just made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about that for a sec. When you paddle out, what goes through your mind? I mean, I know there's the conditions, but I'm talking that psychological switch from all the cares, all the stress, all the work, all the stuff that's in real life, it's mm-hmm. we all deal with. But what's this phenomena paddling out into the ocean, into a setting where it's calm, there's dolphins, little wave? What goes on through the mind?
It's incredibly peaceful. And I'm a little bit of an introvert, so I kind of like not being around a lot of people at times. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just a relaxing, it's almost like when you get home and you just sit on your couch. It's just like you're home, you're relaxed. And in the mornings, if you can catch the sunrise, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm a morning person. I love mornings.
Right.
So it is just one of the most amazing things if the ocean is calm, if it's glassy, the sunrise is coming up like off of the horizon and you can see the red and orange, mm-hmm. the rays on the water.
Right.
It's just one of the most peaceful feelings and it makes everything okay. It's like everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. That's probably very corny.
No, but. No. Anybody that's ever experienced that, you know, it takes your breath away. It resets the mind. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful aspect of what we get to enjoy as surfers. I think that in talking to people, that's a big draw to the water, is just leaving the life stuff, in a sense, behind and stepping out and unplugging and having that sense of peace and calm, even when the waves are big.
Yeah.
You know, there's a calm there.
And I have a question for you, because most of the people I surf with, we go out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk with a wide variety of people. The people that go out and surf in the evenings after work, do they have the same feeling, or is it more, oh, I'm stoked, I'm going to go get some waves?
I think it depends on the conditions. Mm-hmm. I think they've been watching the camera all day. They've been getting the texts all day from friends. Dude, it's pumping, you know. And so when they leave work, they're thinking of scoring some waves. But I still think while you're out there, the only thing you're thinking about is catching this wave, enjoying, you know, a few seconds of fun with friends. But in the evening, and you've surfed the evening session, that sun is setting, the clouds are painted in a different color, the sky just blows up in oranges and reds, and you know, and
it's the same, just the opposite direction.
Right. Yeah. Where in the morning, it's just nothing has taken place yet.
Yeah.
In the evening, you've just had a rat race day maybe, and now the waves are pumping and you finally get to get on them. And then I think right at the very end, you get that, man, this was worth it.
So in the mornings, it's today's going to be a good day. And in the evenings, it's today was a good day.
There you go. Either way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you shared four waves.
I know I couldn't. Each one was different. Each one had a different thing that made it important.
Yeah. So now I'm going to have to change the name of my podcast.
I'm sorry.
My Waves Podcast instead of just My Wave. No.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is, as surfers listen to this, there's relatability to all four, because we've all have experienced those four moments. You know, the, oh no, I'm going to die, to just that session with friends. That is just, the waves were perfect. Everything came together. It's one of those, you know, sessions to remember, you know, and then just chilling with dolphins.
Yeah.
Nothing cooler.
Yeah. I mean, each time you go out is something a little different.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Advice, we've shared a lot, but if you sat down one-on-one with someone just getting started, what would you tell them?
Depends how old they are. Just keep going at it. If you enjoy it, just keep going. There are some days you're not going to have fun and you're going to get frustrated and come out. There's some days you're going to hurt yourself. There's some days that you are going to come out and be right with the world. Everything is just good. But if you enjoy it, just keep going. And each time you go, there is an advantage to it. I don't think I've ever gone out where I wish I didn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
So just go when you can. And if you don't make it out that day, there'll be another day.
Right.
I mean, there's all days where you have to work, or you might have to go out of town and you look at the forecast and it's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
Super nice.
Sometimes I'll text friends and say, hey, it's going to be cooking next week. And they're like, really? Why? I said, because I'm going out of town.
We do the same thing. I'll be like, I'm going to St. Louis for the weekend. There's going to be good waves. Or for me, it was, I used to dye my hair every 6 weeks. So it was when you dye your hair, technically you're not supposed to get a wet, take a shower, or anything for 24 to 48 hours. So I'd always, I'd always say, there's going to be waves today and tomorrow. And about... I think there really was.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, Amy, it has been awesome to have you on here.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. And man, anybody that you would like to have share their wave?
Like, I mean, if we can get Georgia from Hawaii.
That would be cool. Yes. If you could contact her, because we can work it out. We can call her in and set that up. Talk to her, because that would be really fun to have Georgia on here.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. Then we tried to get Dave on here. He had something come up today.
Dave has some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking. So. I really want him on here just for the accent.
Ka.
Yes. Ka. Yes. He's so funny.
Yes.
Well, Amy, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to all of you listeners, Have an awesome day. Right before we close, Amy, I always throw this out. So the Bible. Do you know that the Bible discusses surfing? You ever come across that?
No, but I'm not surprised. It discusses everything.
It does. I mean, it does. Yes. Now, some people say I'm stretching the text of Scripture, but in Acts chapter 27, there's this shipwreck that Paul is involved in, a bunch of crew members, other people traveling, and the ship gets smashed up onto a reef, breaks apart, and the text says that everyone made it to shore alive. It says some on pieces of the ship and others on boards. It's plausible.
Yes. It's plausible. I can see that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, y'all have a great one. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.